Now, I think let's just get to our guest. Now, as I mentioned, in the digital age, you know, few people can function without a computer or laptop, let's face it, you know. But when your system goes down, it's not a good thing. I mean, repairs can cost hundreds of dollars and, you know, even worse, a lot of valuable time. Now, LC Technology CEO David Zimmerman is here with us. He specializes in data recovery and software repair. And time after time, he does see a lot of people making mistakes that can literally fry their computers. That's not a good thing. In fact, David has created a list of the most surprising mistakes he sees users make and how to avoid them. So please welcome David to the show. David, welcome to Computer America. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
It's, and Ben, sorry. Yeah, it's you know, it's a problem that happens. It's going to happen to, you know, it happens to everybody at least once, and usually sometimes twice. But, yeah, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong nowadays. And you know, it's not even just your computer and your notebook now, but it's your tablet, it's your smartphone. It's pretty much any other device that you're carrying around that, you know, you're storing and, you know, depending on for your data.
Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you and what it is that you do at LC Technology and the company itself. Give us a little bit of background.
Sure.
You know, of, sure.
Sure, sure. You know, I started building computers back in around 1982. I think when some of the first computers came out, they were XTs, and then we went to 286s and 386s and 486s and so on. And, you know, things have changed quite a bit over the, you know, the last 30 years, 25, 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
82.
It was a little bit, you know, I mean, I got into it almost by accident because I used to be a machinist that was doing CAD-CAM, and they started coming out with CAD-CAM software, and I saw an opportunity that looked pretty cool, and, you know, and part of selling the systems, we also, you know, the software, we also supplied the systems, so we had to actually build the systems ourselves back in those days, and it was different, quite a bit different than it is now. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, how things have progressed over the years. But you know, doing, you know, building systems, you know, after I, you know, got out of selling CAD-CAM, I started getting into more of the troubleshooting side, which was kind of interesting as well. And, you know, spent a bunch of years working for companies doing test and diagnostic type products until around 97 when, you know, people started to realize and experience data loss as more and more people had computers. And, you know, at that time, there really wasn't a whole lot of tools that were available out there. And me and a couple of other guys got together and came up with some products. And, you know, since then, we've been, you know, pushing, you know, data recovery products and services out since 97.
Well, you know, one of the
mantras that
one of the things that we stress here at Computer America is always to make backups of your software, make backups,
yes,
backups, and more backups, especially if it's stuff that, you know, that is, you know, not recoverable, obviously photographs. So we're very strong supporters of making backups, but even you say as people who don't, I think was it less than 4% of the people who have the ability to make backups just don't make backups of the computer for one reason or another. And I guess that's why you have data recovery services that you can do for those people who you know, need to get their data recovered. You do that for Mac and for Windows, and you have different products to do that. But what I really want to focus today, you came up with this list, if you will, about some of the top causes of things that people do to their computers or have done to their computers and cause them to be, that literally would can electrically fry or damage their computer.
Sure.
This came about just by doing the business, what it is that you do? I mean, or is this something that you kind of focused on? How did this all come about?
Well, you know, it's a combination of both things. Seeing things, hearing stories from people on how they said they, you know, this happened. And, you know, honestly, you know, living down here in Florida, you know, with electricity, yeah, we have a lot of lightning. And if you go back years and years ago before everybody had UPSs, I mean, everybody's computer was plugged into the wall, you know, and, you know, back, you know, is it grounded? You know, what are they using? You know, were they using the phone line to go out through a modem? You know, I mean, so any, you know, minor, you know, fluctuation back in those days, you know, with electricity, you know, sending surges, you know, through the computer without having a UPS or surge, you know, built in, can easily, you know, fry something that runs on 5 volts or 12 volts, you know. And it's, you know, could be, you know, just electronic, you know, fragile electronics, you know, back, you know, in those days, you know, they probably weren't as advanced as they are now. But it's still, you know, a common problem. And, you know, if you live in the state of Florida and you have a computer, you know, like a desktop, and you don't have it plugged into a, you know, UPS, you're just, you know, waiting. You know, I know a couple of friends last week got their smart TVs are fried. you know, we had a big storm roll through, and, you know, it's that power surge. You know, lightning hits close enough and, you know, travels, and, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to, you know.
Evidently,
not. Damage electronic, yeah. Florida, and now you look at even that down in, yeah, but even you go like, look at Louisiana right now with all the flooding and the water, you know. I can just imagine.
I mean,
you know,
the name thing is Florida Flicker and Flash. You know, that's pretty much has a reputation for this. Of course, I'm looking at my computer, and it's plugged into a nice big fiber power, uninterruptible power supply, which is nice. You know, but not only that, but as you mentioned, the peripheral supportive technology. Your computer may be protected, but basically, well, what about the router or the modem to the service?
Exactly.
Your power goes out, your computer, all of a sudden you lose your internet, and you smack yourself upside the head and say, oh, guess what? Well, I don't have a UPS on all that other hardware sitting over there, and so it goes down.
Correct.
And then, of course, you have computer still working, but you have no internet connection. So you really have to kind of think it through.
At that point, what's the point of the computer? Might just throw the whole stupid thing away without internet.
Well, you know, getting to that point, really, I mean, without the internet, the usefulness of your computer really drops down. There's no question. I would say about 80% of what things that I do on my computer are somehow tied into online services. And so without the online component, it really does make the computer less useful. Now, unless, even if you're playing a game. Gosh sakes, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
especially gamers.
Right.
But yeah, having the proper equipment and protecting, you know, all your electronics, you know, not even just your computer, but, you know, your TVs and anything else that you got plugged in. And you know, I mean, down here, we even have, like, you know, Progress Energy. I mean, they will put a surge, protector on your house if you like as well. And I don't even know. I think they might charge you $2-3 a month. It's nothing crazy, but, having that peace of mind that, you know, if something does take a hit close, you know, a transformer gets hit down the street and sends a jolt down the power lines, at least it can get, you know, suppressed, hopefully, before it even makes it into the house. But, you know, in any event, you still should still, you know, have, you know, your electronic, especially your computer plugged in to a UPS and with a battery backup. And you know, try and even use the software that comes with a battery backup that'll shut your system off gracefully for you instead of just, you know, cutting the power to it when the battery runs out. So if you're not home and it's on, you know, it does shut down properly, and you don't lose data that way as well, you know.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that people have the misconstrued that thing. Oh, I'm on the UPS now. I can just run indefinitely. No, the whole idea behind the UPS is basically power goes down. You just don't continue to do what you do. You say, oh, you.
I
save your stuff and shut it off, right?
Yeah, save your stuff.
I mean, sometimes the power goes out and the UPS kicks on, and I'm like, eh, you know, I can give myself half an hour, and then 10 minutes goes by, and it just shuts off, you know, the hard way. I'm like, ooh, probably should.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
You know.
You should probably
most UPSs come with a cable in the software to do that, you know. Yeah, that'll automatically,
Some do, some don't, and that all depends on the quality of the uninterruptible power supply that you purchase. Some will only have software for Windows. Some won't work on a Mac. It all depends. But bottom line, I think most of that is for unattended operations. If you're there and you're sitting in front of your computer and the power goes out, or if it flickers on, flickers off, back and forth, you know, just say, okay, I'm going to shut down, and then wait for that to pass, you know. Don't wait for a few minutes. The power comes on and say, oh, well, maybe it's back on. And then as you're powering up, and then, of course, you'll have another power failure. So basically the idea is to shut down properly, wait till the thunderstorm or whatever that's causing the problem goes away or if it gets resolved, and then properly start your computer up again. Just don't do it every minute.
Getting into the hardware side of it, and, you know, David, hopefully you can speak a little bit to this, where, the Word document, you know, hopefully it doesn't have your doctoral thesis on it, and, you know, it's your only copy, and you haven't saved it in 6 months. Like, other than that, what physically can go wrong with a computer that, you know, maybe A, isn't hooked up to UPS, or, you know, or some other reason? Like, we're talking about using it, you know, to save data, but, you know, this list that you actually submitted to, it's like, there's actually saving your hardware as well, right?
Sure, but, you know, going back to that Word document that you've been working on for 6 months, you know, if you, you know, use your software properly, there's an autosave feature you can turn on that'll actually make backup copies of the document as you work on it as well. So,
some applications do that. Yep. I mean, Word does that automatically. You can configure Word, for example, to do autosaves on a regular basis. But not all.
Correct.
So not all applications have that, but I know some of the main ones do.
They do, yeah. Aside from power, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, like I was just saying, you know, especially like with weather and, you know, right now, I mean, you know, being in Florida, you know, luckily we haven't had a hurricane in, you know, several years. But I remember, you know, years back, you know, things that have been, you know, in salt water, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the whole, you know, Louisiana area where they still, I think, have, you know, a couple of feet of water in some places. You know, it's not just, you know, the electricity, but, you know, there's some other, you know, outside effects as well, especially water. You know, or spilling anything, you know, on your computer. It's sometimes you just don't know, you know, what it is. And actually I've even had one computer somebody had brought into us, and they had a bunch of insects living inside of it. Which shorted something out on the motherboard.
I would like to say I've never seen that before, but, you know, if you have a roach infestation in your home, then the warm computer sitting right there, that's a prime target.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. We opened it up and we were like, oh, we just took it outside.
Or just sprinkle a little sugar around your motherboard.
No.
Yeah, but seriously, they conduct electricity as too, and they make waste, and maybe that waste has some dampness to it that causes something to short of eventually over time, you know. But yeah, and you know, it's not even just, Yeah, like I was saying before, it's not just desktops anymore either. I mean, you know, we're seeing less and less desktops, you know, and more mobile type devices, you know, including tablets and some other things as well. And they suffer the same thing, you know. You know, especially like with a tablet, you know, it's like you don't carry a UPS around, but if you're sitting in some place and it's plugged into the wall, and you know, obviously it's, you know, thundering and lightning outside, you know, your best bet is to, you know, go ahead
unplug
and,
it.
You know, unplug it. Yeah, especially if it's got a battery, you know. But, yeah, to say, you know, you don't have that protection on mobile devices, even like cell phones, you know. And like we were saying before, you know, with your router and your modem and anything else that's plugged in.
Hey, but let me ask you a question, though. And this just comes to mind when you were talking. I mean, my smartphone, obviously, you plug it in to charge and everything. But what about this newer technology? A lot of the smartphones now are having wireless charging. I know Samsung now has it. It's rumored that Apple's going to have. If your phone is charging wirelessly and there's no direct connection, is it still in danger of getting zapped when using a wireless charger?
Good question. I know it would still be susceptible to static, but I'm not sure how the. You know, I've seen some of these charging pads, you know, advertised in like SkyMall. You know, it's a little mat you plug in, you put all your stuff on there, and apparently it'll charge everything for you. I don't know enough about that technology, personally.
All right.
I don't have one. But I'm not sure how.
You should look into that.
You know, the energy field is. Yeah. But I do know that, you know, outside elements, even like static, especially when you're like up north, you know, where it's dry, you have electric heat and it's cold outside and you got carpet in your house and you touch your keyboard or you touch your computer and you get a shock. Yeah. And static can do a lot of damage, almost as much as, you know, the, Yeah.
That shock you get might not just be an electrical shock. It might be the shock of that seeing your computer fry. Don't they have little straps that you can put on so you kind of ground yourself before you touch any component? I have actually seen those.
We've used them in our lab here. Yeah, just for grounding. That's typically just for grounding. But, you know, you can't walk around with one of them on all the time either. You know.
Well, you could,
I guess you could.
It would be
That's exactly what happened to my brother. Actually, when he built his first computer, he laid all the parts out on the floor, which was carpeted, and you know, walking back and forth a couple times, picked up his brand new $300 motherboard, and that dead.
Wow.
You know, not good.
No. And you know, being down here in Florida, I don't see it much, but when I lived up north, you know, I'm originally from Canada, and you know, in the winter times up there, I mean, electric heat, you know, just seems to generate static electricity, you know, with carpet, especially when it's really, really dry outside. Yeah, dangerous.
It would seem to me, David, that though with technology, I mean, they got technology now, so you can pour water on these things and it won't fry them, you know, they're water resistant. You would think they would come up with circuitry that would be resistant to static electrical discharges. Why haven't they?
And there,
you know?
Yeah, there probably is, but, you know, it's all at a cost, you know, where are the parts coming from in the first place. You know, they're being imported from someplace, some factory and some, you know, other country that, you know, they're you know, getting a, you know, decent price for production. And, you know, at the same time, you know, handsets are no, you know, especially like phones. I mean, they're not really, you know, expected to last more than 2 years anyways. There are some, you know, some of the new things that are coming out. Yeah, they're waterproof and, you know, somewhat shockproof. You know, some of the ruggedized stuff that they make for the military and those types of people. But, you know, for everyday people, parts, you know, like that, unless they're meant for, you know, for use, you know, either outdoors, you know, like, you know, like tough books and stuff like that, you know, they're not really focused on that. They're, you know, I mean,
it,
especially desktops.
Okay, so we're talking about all these weather-related causes, and we're talking about lightning and atmospheres and dry and static electricity. And there are a lot of these environmental problems that can cause your computer to fail. But, I mean, is it all environmental, or are there other things, other types of problems as well that you should, be wary of with your computer?
Well,
especially, I guess if you work,
go ahead.
If you work outside, if you have lots of water, that might be one thing to be wary of. But yeah. What else?
Well,
would you look at?
It's not just that. It's your surroundings as well. You know, like kids.
kids.
You know.
With that peanut butter all over their fingers and say, can I tie the keyboard? Exactly. And
I mean, you see kids sitting on the floor and just pushing buttons on and off.
Well, what can you do? Another thing that I remember, I used to manage a computer store, and one of the things that I noticed is that people would bring their computers, and you could always tell if the person was a smoker. I mean, I saw keyboards that were so gunked up with smoke, and it was like, oh.
Well, it's a little bit of tar that builds up over time.
I mean, they
have or the fan in the power supply when you took the case apart. Yeah, I mean, the dust in there was like brown.
I mean, if you smoke cigarettes, this is.
You see a lot of that in the older days. You know, not too many people smoke inside nowadays. But, you know, I do remember, you know, years and years ago, you know, working on people's computers. And, you open it up and it was full of dust. And the dust, you know, was just reeked of, you know, stale tobacco. And eventually, you know, that's an issue as well. You know, your fans get clogged up with dust and all gummed up. They stop spinning. Your computer overheats. And the next thing you know, you fried the processor on your motherboard. You know, same with the fan that's on the heat sink. So another environmental thing, especially if you got your computer sitting on a, you know, shag carpeting, you know. Over time, it's just going to draw that, you know, fibers in, and, you know, if you're smoking too, and it's gumming up all the fans that are in your computer, they will slow down, they will, you know, and then eventually your system will overheat, and if your system does overheat, then typically you're going to have electronic failure as well.
What about dog hair? Or pet hair? I would think that's got to do it too. I'm afraid to sometimes... I mean, dogs can do a lot of shit, depending on the particular species of a breed of the dog. Some of them can just be, dog hair can just really, or even cat hair, cat dander can be.
Yep.
I'll tell
cat
you what,
hair.
David, we're at the bottom of the hour. So we're gonna take a little break and then we'll continue on with you. Okay. Ben and I are talking to David Zimmerman. He is the CEO of LC Technologies. We're gonna take a break. We also have another news tips pulse review from Marty Winston. We're going to be talking about the Intermatic Dual Tech Motion device. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with David Zimmerman. You're listening to the Computer America Show. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Sometimes disaster strikes. Data can be lost due to many different reasons. Accidental reformatting, power spikes, virus attacks. Zero Assumption Recovery provides a suite of highly effective and thorough data recovery software for Windows operating systems. ZA is suitable for home users and small businesses who need a powerful data recovery solution for Windows and Linux file systems.
Go to z-a-recovery.com.
Sometimes disaster strikes. Data can be lost due to many different reasons. Accidental reformatting, power spikes, virus attacks. Zero Assumption Recovery provides a suite of highly effective and thorough data recovery software for Windows operating systems. ZA is suitable for home users and small businesses who need a powerful data recovery solution for Windows and Linux file systems.
Go to z-a-recovery.com.
Hi, this is Craig Crossman, host of the Computer America Show. You have important meetings to schedule. Your company's getting ready for its IPO, and you're in charge of the PTA fundraiser this month. So how do you coordinate everyone to be available at the same time? Are you still using emails, phone calls, even text messages to schedule meetings with a group of people? How's that working out for you? Not so great, huh? It's the fact that every day, millions of people suffer from scheduling headaches. Well, with Doodle, scheduling meetings with a group of people is quick and easy. With Doodle, you can easily propose available times to each member. Each one checks off the times that they are available, and then you simply pick the time that works best for the group, all in an easy-to-read display that integrates with your existing calendar. Nothing could be more simple. Give Doodle a try for free, and like millions of Doodle users, you'll truly see how easy it is to find the perfect day and time for all your meetings. That's www.doodle.com.
Sorry, gender-neutral connectors just can't be AC/DC. Marty Winston with a News Tips Bulletin Review for Computer America, this time the Intermatic Dual-Tech Motion Sensor. It looks a little like a smoke alarm, but it really houses a PIR, that's passive infrared motion sensor, that can cover 1,600 square feet, plus an ultrasonic motion sensor that can cover 1,000 square feet, plus an ambient light sensor, and you have ways to adjust the sensitivity of all three. It's made for wiring into AC power and selectively powering a load like a light or a motor when either or both you choose of the motion sensor's triggers and when the ambient light level you set is appropriate. You can also set between 5 seconds and half an hour how long the load remains powered when it triggers. So bottom line, the Intermatic Dual-Tech Motion Sensor can bring automation to any room, battery-free. Marty Winston, News Tips Bulletin for Computer America.
And 33 minutes past the hour here on the Computer America Show. We are in just the first hour. Don't worry, you haven't missed too much if you're just joining us. We are talking to David Zimmerman. He is the CEO of LC Technology International. And yeah, you know, we're just going over some of the, you know, I think unusual ways that people can lose data and, of course, damage their computers, because we all know that, you know, oh, I got a virus, or, oh, you know, this, that, or the other. But now we're talking about, you know, some of the environmental problems or pets or, you know, just a variety of things that can cause people to lose data because, you know, we all live around a cat. We all live around a dog. We all live around, you know, children. We all live around something or other that has the potential to destroy our computer. No fault of their own, or, you know, through no malicious act of their own. I mean, these things still happen. Like, even if you think you're being safe, I don't know of any computer that is 100%, you know, fail proof. At least in my, that I've run into. So.
No, I don't. There's always something that can go wrong.
Absolutely. So, and right before the break, we kind of left off talking about, I believe we were, you know, talking about the environmental, you know, problems that we can do. And of course, I actually have one question that actually pertains to our next question, because I'll be honest, I've had this asked of me probably 3 or 4 times, and you think it'd be less because, you know, I don't know that many people, but I've had situations where, you know, my friends would call me up and say, hey, don't ask how, but I dropped my laptop in the sink and it got water on it. What do I do? Like, you know, water damage is something that's most insidious, but I only think that because I really don't know what really goes wrong with water damage. So I think we've all been in the situation where your smartphone gets dropped into the sink or the toilet. You know, somehow water gets spilled on your computer. David, if you could speak a little bit about spilled liquids and what you should do and what is actually the problem with spilling water on a computer or tablet or phone.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, water is never a good thing. There are worse things in water, like salt water, or liquids that have sugar in them. But, you know, for the most part, you know, if your laptop got wet, you know, the first thing you need to do is, you know, take the hard drive out. You know, normally there's a little door on the bottom, you know, that you can, you know, take out with a little Phillips screwdriver and pull the drive out, dry it off. Typically, they're sealed. But, you know, the key is to, you know, get the, you know, anything gets wet, don't attempt to power it on. You know, dry it off as best you can. Take it apart as much as you can. And, you know, take the storage media out of it, you know, which is, you know, probably a small, you know, if you're using a Windows PC, it's probably going to be, you know, a small 2.5-inch, you know, SATA or IDE drive, depending on how old it is. Typically, those things are sealed pretty good. You know, the quicker you get to it and do something about it, obviously, the better. You know, if you have a little hex set screwdriver, you know, typically on the bottom of these drives is a little tiny circuit board, which is a controller. You can just take that off, take the screws out, unplug the little ribbon cable that's, you know, probably connected to it, and just let it dry. Then you can go ahead, you know, and plug that drive into something else and at least copy your data off it. As far as your computer is concerned, that's another story. You know, you may have lost a computer, but, you know, you don't want to lose the data. You can take it apart, dry it off, make sure it's completely dry, you know, however long you're comfortable with waiting for it to see if it dries, but, you know, the screen may be damaged, but some of the other components may be salvageable. But they're not as bad. You know, phones, other things, yeah, they're obviously, you know, a little more sensitive to things like that. They're typically sealed to the point that you can't get into them, take them apart, and actually let them dry. You know, most people, if they're smart enough, or they're smart, they typically put most of their data onto, you know, an external storage card, depending on the type of phone you had, where, you know, they typically will keep their pictures and that type of stuff. You know, so, you know, key is, you know, if the device is not on, you know, don't turn it on. If it's dropped in anything else but fresh water, rinse it off. I mean, if you're in salt water, because I know we get stuff in here all the time with salt water on them, and typically, you know, the first thing to do is wash that salt water off so it stops corroding, get the salt off it. Then take it apart as best you can, and then typically, you know, we clean, you know, we get a lot of things in, like compact flashcards that have been, let's say, in an underwater camera that it's gotten wet. So we'll take it apart. We'll take, you know, a small brush, alcohol, you know, and clean it up, make sure it's dry before we plug it in and attempt to, you know, get the data off of it. But, yeah, I mean, water is about, you know, the best thing. If you've spilled, like, a can of Coke or a beer or, like I said, salt water, rinse it off first. Get all that stuff off of it and then let it dry. And dry it, you know, I mean, as best you can, you know, a can of air, you know, every little crevice you can see, try and, you know, blast the air out. There are some things that you can try. You know, I know, you know, I've had this happen to me a few times, and, you know, I have this collection of little bags of silica gel, you know, where I've, you know, put something in there that has been, you know, exposed to enough moisture that, you know, it's either fogged up, you know, the lens on it, and, you know, it's going to take, it's going to take time, but if you want to wait, you know, it, you know, that's an option as well. And I think it works better. And a lot of people suggest using rice. You know, those things are typically designed to absorb moisture. Whereas rice,
well, I think you're supposed to eat it. David, I remember there was a company that actually came out, which was you would take your salt phone that had dropped in water. It was a bag, and you would put it in the bag and let it stay in this material and for 24 hours. And
yeah,
they,
I have one here on my desk. I actually have one of those. It was called a Beady bag. I have one sitting here.
I have one. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it wouldn't. But I'll tell you, when it worked, well, it was a great, you know.
You had to wait for the balls to change color. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I think, you know, well, that brings up another memory. I remember way back before smartphones, you know, we had the little flip phones and everything. my phone had gotten wet, and I figured, well, let me call them up and see what they have to say, and maybe I can get another phone replaced. And
right.
They said, take the battery out, look at it, and there was a little dot in there. So what color was the dot? And I went, pink. And
right.
I'm like, oh, well, your phone's been submitted to water.
Yep.
I didn't realize that they had that.
It's always white.
Yeah, it's supposed to be white. The cat was out of the bag, so I couldn't claim that it hadn't gotten wet. So that was it.
I know.
Keep Sean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, you'd be surprised.
But, of course, not with water. Yeah. But now with water-resistant technology, I mean, they're getting to the point where it's not only the water-resistant, but the circuitry itself is water-phobic. You know, they treat
it. That is a feature of the new Samsung Galaxy S7, I want to say.
Mm. Where,
yeah,
so,
well, yeah, one of the
drop...
new ones I just seen come out, yeah. But, you got to remember, that's for water getting splashed on it. You're not going to go dive down 100 feet in the water and take pictures with it,
No. Or if
it's for casual situations. You drop it in a pool, it's 10 feet deep, all right, you're good, But, as technology improves, and those phones I don't think are that cheap either. But there's cases, you got your life-proof cases and things like that are supposed to, help your phone become indestructible and leak-proof. But I know one of my kids had a life proof that leaked on her. So,
Let me ask you, how handy that's it. Well, dad is in the business. He'll fix it for you.
No, they get lectured.
But they still get their stuff fixed. It might be a lecture, but at least they get it fixed. So, Do you have any stories you can tell us? That come to mind about something was sent to you, or there was a real sob story or a bad story associated with it. Anything come to mind? With all that you've been doing all this data recovery. Anything?
Well, the interesting thing now is we're getting a lot of video, and a lot of it is coming from GoPros and drones. That's a whole new, segment for us because, it wasn't until, in the last couple of years that people started, strapping these action cams to them and going downhill and wiping out and, destroying their camera in the process and typically losing their whatever it was they were shooting as well. And the same is with a lot of these drones too, because they'll crash. And in the process of recording, the camera, gets, physical damage to it and, the files haven't had a chance to be properly written to, the micro SD card that's inside the camera. So typically a lot of that stuff is corrupt. But we get a lot of phones in that have been in the water. Normally we take these, some of these apart. Some of them we have the technology in-house that we can actually pull the memory chips off the circuit board of the phone and put them on and mount them up in these, some custom sockets that we build for these chips and be able to extract data like that. But, if you're... know what you're doing, you're educated enough with your own phone, you typically don't have that kind of a problem. Nowadays things are so simple to configure with, either Google or iCloud or whatever that, they automatically sync all your pictures and anything else you want to select on your phone to do it. And, it may even do, while you're sleeping, most of your files and things like that, it's cloud storage is, cheap. So syncing your devices, your computer, your notebook, because I've got, a desktop at home, a desktop in my office, I carry a notebook with me, I carry my smartphone with me, and typically, I'm able to access almost all my files from any one of them devices at any time. And it's not that hard to do. And once you do it, it's kind of like, set it and forget it. But at the same time, You know, that's, you know, one of the other issues is, you know, a lot of people that think they're backing all their stuff up never actually really go through a restore process to see if they're doing it right, to make sure that they've got everything that they think they got. So,
yeah, that can be a. So, are you saying there you should do all of this yourself, or should you call in an expert to do this for you?
Well, you know. You know, it depends. You know, it depends on the user. You know, I have friends of mine that, you know, don't know how to, you know, it's every time I text them, they call me. You know, it's like, okay, well, text me back. it really isn't that hard to set up. And, you know, and I think it has a lot to do with, you know, people and where they're at. You know, it's like we make a lot of products that we sell over in Japan, and I go over there quite a bit. And you know, the users there are very technical compared to people in the United States. I don't know why, you know, exactly why, but, you know, you just got to be conscious about it. You know, and until you lose something, you don't really understand, you know, the value of it. And once something has happened to you, when you lost all this, or you lost, you know, pictures or whatever it is, it's that when you understand, it's like, well, you know, I don't want this to happen to me again, and take the time to, you know, go through your phone and look at it, you know, because you can, it's so easy to, you know, set up your device to back up and, you know, forget it. And hopefully it does do that. You know, you need to check once in a while, but, you know, it's not a hard thing to do. It's, you know, pretty much anybody should be able to do it.
Yeah, you know, these backup services, they do a very technical job behind the scenes, but I think a lot of these companies that provide the service, they do a really good job of making sure that anyone who wants to can do it. Like, they don't sit there thinking, how do we make this just complicated enough so that the layman can't do it, but
yeah,
our industry can. Like, yeah, they're really going the extra mile to really make it simple and, you know, kind of even out of the way. Because, like, you know, the backups of yesteryear, you used to be able to see a pretty big noticeable drop in performance of your machine when you used to, you know, make a backup when you were working on it. But now they do it, you know, when it's in sleep mode, when it's inactive for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, it's simple and convenient.
Yeah, and you're talking about the old days when everyone backed up to tape, too. So, you know, tape took a long time. And, you know, you didn't have a tape. You didn't do it at home. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, okay, well, they backed up the network at work. And I had a tape for every day of the week. And
well, it's
interesting
because
it's
changed. You mentioned a tape for every day of the week. That's true. But, you know, I think a lot of the – some of the thought behind that still is today, because you don't want to back up over your current backup, right? You want to make incremental backups. So you only back up the things that changed since the last one. And then of course there's the other philosophy. You say, well, you don't even do that because let's say you back over something that's changed, and then you realize, oh, you know, I really wanted that original document before I made the change.
Yep.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So there are versions. So sometimes it all depends upon how much you want to back up, what kind of backup you're going to do, and how much of the backup of the stuff you want to preserve, how back far in time.
Right.
That's one of the things I liked about Time Machine on the Mac. You know, you could literally go back and make backups, but you could also go back to different versions of the same document, depend upon. So, and I do know that they make a lot of backup systems. I mean, do you have a particular backup that you recommend with LC Technology? Are there any backup software products that you would?
Well, you know, we use different things. I mean, you know, here in house in the office, I mean, we use, you know, some Microsoft products that back up our servers every 15 minutes, you know, and it's a Microsoft product called Data Protection Manager. That's what we use. It backs up all our servers, all our users every 15 minutes. I can go back, you know, up to weeks to restore, you know, different, you know, iterations, you know, that it's done, you know, and you know, as far as, you know, personal devices, especially, you know, mine are all synced to, you know, multiple clouds as well. Not just one, but more than one, because, you know, clouds are a good idea and they're safe to a certain extent, but they don't guarantee the safety of your data either. You know, they could lose all your data that's there, and, you know, they really don't have any responsibility or liability. So, you know, if, you know, using the cloud to back up your phone or your notebook or, you know, even your desktop, you know, through Google or something like that, you know, it's always a good idea to back that up to something else as well, because, you know, it has happened before. You know, somebody goes down and all the data's gone, but, you know, you didn't have it backed up to somebody else. So, you know, you got to be redundant with, you know, stuff that's important to
you can never make too many backups, is what you're saying. But of course,
no.
I guess you kind of have to temper that with how, what it is that you're. I mean, how if you're a gamer and you can lose something, I don't think it's quite as important as, let's say, if you're running a business and you need versions, you have inventory data.
Well, I think it has to do with, you know, not to, you know, shame gamers, but just, you know, a lot of data is backed up to the clouds, is held server side, is, you know, just kind of done
or on their
the
device
internet,
I think as well, don't they, don't you save onto your devices too, memory card? Because I know we've done we've recovered games for people as well.
Well, the majority of games that I think most people play nowadays, it's mostly done server side, but you know, there are say like five where I know people get insane about it, and they'll have a game where they play one game for like 140 hours, and they save that on their computer. And it's like, you don't want to lose 140 hours of your, you know, yes, it's a game, but really of work. You know, so I can see people, you know, kind of you know about that.
Especially if people play games.
You know, and the other thing
to
use is. Oh, go ahead.
Well, especially as people that game professionally, and because let's face it, gamers today, it's a business. A lot of people earn a living by playing games, and we finally come to that portion. I mean, I mentioned to Ben just the other day. I was watching a show on television. The guy said, "What do you do for a living?" And he says, "Well, I play Halo." And it was a moment of silence. You do what? He says, "I play Halo professionally, and I play it." And it's considered to be. I mean, it's fun and everything, but it's also their work.
Right,
they
right.
They make a living that way. So.
Sure.
You
know, but outside of using, you know, other devices, you know, I mean, you know, using your own portable storage, you know, to archive things on is always a good thing too. You know, flash drives, you know. I mean, I have copies of a lot of things on multiple flash drives as well. Just in case, you know, you never know.
And not only that, you know, to quote John Travolta, he was in the movie called Michael, and he was talking about Mesopotamia, and the guy says, that city doesn't exist anymore, you know, and he says, nothing lasts. And it's true. I mean, CDs only last for 100 years, if that, and so, although we did a story not too long ago about some technology that was supposed to last 3 million years or something along those lines, Ben. I can't remember what it was.
Well, you know, that was a big thing with, you know, Blu-ray and some other stuff wasn't going to deteriorate and, you know, a lot of these things. But, you know, and the funny thing about a lot of that stuff is, you know, it's like, great, okay, so you can put it on some kind of storage media that's going to last for how many years, but you know what the real problem is going to be is finding something to plug that thing into in 150 years.
That's very true.
You know, so you've seen 5 1/4 floppies go away, you've seen zip drives go away, you've seen jazz drives go away, you've seen, you know, LS120s, all these different types of things that, you know, you could archive on and
And now you can't find anything to play them off of. There are places you can go that they specialize in it. They'll recover, you know, depending on what media you bring them. But they have hardware.
Oh, we have all those here too. We have them here. I have Jazz drives. I have LS. I've got all those because we used to build a lot of forensic machines for law enforcement years and years ago. And the machines that we had to build for the labs had to be able to address any type of media that they would possibly run into, including 5 1/4 floppies. I've got one sitting in my lab right now as well. So, I mean,
I think it's like every five or ten years, you sit down to your computer and you just start getting rid of all the legacy hardware that's attached to it because you haven't you finally realize that you haven't used that device in like 8 years, you know, and it's just sitting
right there.
So finally you say, okay, and you disconnect it, and or it's just not supported anymore, and you just put it away in a drawer, you donate it. And it just, and I think that'll always continue. Things like that will always continue to happen.
Well, I think USB is going to be around for a bit, but we'll see.
Well, we're pretty much out of time.
Yep.
Again, if people want to go to LC Technology, they can go to your website, and which is lc-tech.com, and they can read all about the Windows recovery software or Mac recovery software or data recovery services that you offer. Or if you want to just head over to computeramerica.com, our website, right on our homepage, we have a link to the LC Technology website as well. That will be up all week. Ben and I want to thank you for, you know, being here on the show and letting our listeners
know about that. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to talk to you guys. It's fun. Breaks up my day.
Well, we're glad that we could break up your day. Hey, listen again.
Cool.
All right, David. Thanks again. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye bye. All right, there you go. It's David Zimmerman again, LC Technology, again, you can go to our website at computeramerica.com. You can check out all that he does, or if you're interested in backing up stuff or recovering things that you may have lost, services like what he does at LC Technology.